This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
So glad to have you back with us as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, and open innovation. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online and webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Exciting show today. We're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from someone a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program, and of course at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. Right now, though, to tell us about the lineup for today's show, here is Jack Bishop.
Science News Radio Network Promise of Tomorrow program. Lynn Swanson is the CEO of Global Energies Technology Institute and also works with their careers program, which is designed to get folks who are coming out of the military into the energy business. Lynn, thank you so much for being here with us. You know, you and I were talking earlier how the world of the returning serviceman has changed since you and I were in the service. Now, you were in the military longer than I was, but how has it changed for that returning vet?
You know, we're talking 21st century technologies where you really need to have the more, as we call it, STEM-related skill sets, which is your science, technology, engineering, mathematical, your sciences, not liberal arts, but sciences, which requires specific technical skill sets that most of our, and that's why, of course, 50% of our graduates coming out of our college and universities are also having issues of acquiring jobs because they are not being provided the industrial certifications and skill sets that our industries require to be globally profitable and competitive. And that's a lot of things that a lot of people forget is that we're not just a national economy. We are a global economy, and we have to be in that competitive component. So that being said, we being Getty and our Getty Alliance, which there again is composites of academia, industry, government, and veteran orgs, we have collectively come together. And, of course, from the academia side of our group, they have been, of course, addressing this issue for over a decade, especially with oil and gas, and developing these skill sets. So we know what needs to be done versus what is not being done currently or what was done in the past, and hence why we got a 43% unemployment rate of all our men and women currently that have transitioned out of the military that we are trying to reverse.
43%. That was a figure that I was shocked when you just told me that. Is part of the problem because technology is the name of the game and it changes so quickly that if you're deployed for a year, 2 years, or whatever, it's a whole new world when you get back?
Well, yes and no. I mean, what it really gets down is no different than a lot of other people within the other industries that are also being released or whatever. You got to take a look at what is their composite skill sets that they have currently, and how does that match up with what industry requires now for all the job openings they got. So based on what we're doing is we're doing a more detailed analysis of the individual, and based on commitments from industry, we're doing that matchup, that matrixing. And based on their desires to follow a certain career path, a certain industry, well, if they want to do that, And since in a lot of cases we have 18 months advance notice from the military as to when that individual is being released, well, we have a better opportunity of guiding them and counseling them to follow a certain course of action that if they do want to acquire that job that we've identified for them and have commitments from industry to hire who we graduate, well, then they have a pathway. And that is what, you know, our programs that we're proposing in our new Veteran Workforce Development Center that we're looking at developing in the Killeen area as a model to be then replicated across Texas and across the nation. Is looking to develop. And, of course, that's where Texas A&M and other entities have joined with us, along with the state, to make sure that this all comes to be, because we know that's the pathway that needs to be followed.
Now, you're doing all of this, as you said, with Texas A&M down there in Killeen. That's where...
They've got currently a campus that's part of their network that is... Well, actually doing this with College Station.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, with TAMU property. And they are all working with us to make sure that this collectively comes into being in a short period of time. And, of course, we're working with the Texas Office of Economic Development and Texas Workforce Commission and bringing together the packaging and business plan that is necessary to bring in state funding that is available, as well as also then to meet the needs of the parameters of Chase Foundation, who can also bring other monies, as well as, of course, our major oil and gas promoters and sponsors who would also. So, I mean, it's a collective effort. It's not just the effort of one entity. And in today's world, you've got to have those elements together. So everybody that we put to accomplish the main mission objective, and that is to properly train and guide and certify for the current job positions that are out there, which is there's over a million nationwide. And so, and just here and coming into Houston, there's 47,000 trade positions that we've got to fill over the next 18 to 24 months because of the $73 billion in construction projects that are going on here. So, I mean, there's a variety of conditions that we're looking at meeting that the programs that we've evolved are going to allow to happen. But, of course, it's a team effort. It's not just the effort of one or two. It's an entire team that has to be orchestrated. But that's why, quite honestly, it is really taking those that have been trained in the military to do these types of multitasking, joint operations considerations is why I believe we're going to be successful where others have failed, because we know how to bring operations and objectives like this to the fore in a short period of time where we don't allow typical bureaucratic kick the can down the road mentality to retard us. Because keep in mind, every day, every week, every month, that we don't have this particular course of action into operation, that's hundreds of thousands of new veterans that are no longer being able to achieve what we need to achieve.
Like you said, you can't rely on the traditional product project management model to work in this case. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a partnership of business, the state, academia, and even the federal spectrum to make all of this happen, correct?
Correct.
And so how do you keep those people in line? How do you do it?
It's called a cattle prod. You know, it's just good old fashioned negotiation and tenacity, and keep reminding them that, and everybody does support our veterans. You know, but as we say, we're tired of hearing, and in a lot of cases it is an insult when someone says, I support the veterans, but we know it's, for the most part, is hollow.
Mm-hmm.
In that they don't really follow through. And so part of our motto is, what have you done for us lately? You know, if you're going to say you're going to support us, much like when we go out to industry to be partner with us in this agreement, is that we want you to actually step up with a requisition order that specifies the positions that you want us to certify and create personnel for. And then when we successfully do that, we're able to place that veteran. And so we have, it takes a lot of time and dedication, but also reminding people of just what I said. For every day, every week, every month that we don't do what we're proposing to do, our men and women are bleeding. And there's other considerations that the federal government hasn't properly funded the transition program, so our men and women are being released from active duty and not being paid for 2 months, which is another issue that we're dealing with Congress on. And of course, then it gets into the chicken and the egg. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't want to approve any new programs until they have a structured program like what Getty and its alliance partners are proposing is an actual operation. Because in a lot of regards, they know that they've thrown money down that rabbit hole and have not got measurable results out. So they're willing to, from the people I've talked to in Congress, they're willing to step up and support this on a national basis once we get this program. So I keep reminding all our partners and participants in this endeavor of that fact, and that we don't have time to waste anymore. And because a lot of us have created similar programs in the past and have lessons learned, this is not our first rodeo, as they say. We know how to do it, so let's just set about just getting it done in the name of serving the needs of our men and women.
Now, you said something. You said something a moment ago that I want to go back to, because I have not heard anybody say it as directly as I heard you say it. There are a lot of folks who walk around and say, "I support troops," and they mean they support the troops by having a bumper sticker that says, "I support the troops." Could some of the problem that we have with getting industry in line and business in line and the general populace in line, and even the government, state and federal, could some of the problem be that because we have a military now that is all volunteer, and because quite frankly, nobody is being asked to have a little shared pain? You know, we haven't really done this kind of thing before with an all-volunteer military since colonial times. And so I wonder, is getting the kind of help and support that you're talking about that you and your partners need to make this thing gin could be part of the fact that not everybody's kid stands a chance of being gone for a year or two anymore?
Well, that's true, but the thing I remind, you know, the general populace is that they get to have what they have because 1% of our population stood up and said, we are willing to sacrifice our life, limbs, and our pursuits in the name of protecting our nation and the goals and aspirations of what America stands for. And people got to remember that for us military that did volunteer, we volunteered on a contractual basis. That if we did what we say we're going to do and provide you with our expertise and capabilities and put our life on the line and go wherever you ask us to go without question. Well, here again, it was a contract that upon completion of that service, whatever that length of service was, that our federal government guaranteed that we would be given certain considerations, medical, disability if need be, educational transition support to be able to move back into the civilian community. Here again, these are contractual. These are not entitlements. This was a contractual obligation that our Congress had authorized in being able to put forth the military strength and posture that we have developed, you know, since day one. But now, given the 21st century needs, there is a more precise programs that need to be put in place, and as we have seen, because a lot of those programs were not put in place to begin with, is why we got 43% unemployment of our men and women because they're not being properly transitioned in partnership with industry. So we're just saying we just need to tweak this. And we have devised a game plan that we've already effectively proven over the years, especially in oil and gas and in other realms, that if you have this partnership, guess what? You do have a 92% success rate in placement. Are you ever going to achieve 100%? Well, no, because you got the human factors of individuals not completing
not getting
programs
with
that you sent them.
Not getting with the program. Let's just be honest about
it. Yeah, let's be honest. And so you always going to are you going to have 100? No, you can't. But as we have demonstrated, yes, we can at 92% meet that criteria. And keep in mind too, part of the this is really a pilot program because when you take a look at the level of certifications that we have to do, you can only have basically 16 people in any particular course at any one time because ours is all hands-on certification training so that when we graduate a student from different programs, they're job ready. And that's part of the conundrum of why these job fairs and everything is a joke, because our men and women, even the regular populace, they're going to do these applications and to do for industry, but they haven't been properly prepared. They haven't been properly prepped. Their resumes don't reflect what industry actually needs in order for them to hire you if you're going to be job ready. Because our industry doesn't want to do what our institutions are supposed to be doing. And so, yeah, they do facilitate and help guide, and that's, of course, what we're bringing to the table. There's just a better way of doing this. So are we at a transition point where this can all finally happen? I'm saying yes, but it's going to take voices like yours and others to say, you know what, it's time to quit kicking this football down the road. We know how to do it, and that's, of course, what America's good at is entrepreneurism and expertise of this nature. Just to do it, and that's what we're saying.
Just get on with the program.
Just get on with the program. It is not something that needs to be. It doesn't need to be like we're so accustomed to. Well, we got to study this and make sure this and that. And I said, no, we don't. We've been doing that already for years. Now it's just a matter of applying what we've already proven will work, and just make it happen.
Now, one of the things I want to point out, while your background besides military is in oil and gas.
And construction.
Yeah, oh, didn't say that in the resume.
Well, yeah, if you look back, at my Chicago experience, I was a general contractor and also an overseas contractor when I got out of the military for doing runway construction projects in Saudi Arabia. Why do you think our forces were so successful during the campaigns? It's because we already pre-built up all the runways prior to Bush number one doing his campaigns. I mean, we were already prepped in anticipation of that. So, yeah,
well,
this has been an ongoing...
Well, hold the phone here. Hold the phone here for a minute. What I wanted to point out was that the careers program that you're developing with the Veteran Alliance Group isn't just looking at the oil and gas industry.
Oh, no.
You know, you're looking at certification programs in IT and a program with the FAA for mechanics and pilots. And what other kind of things are you looking at down the road?
Well, the most important thing is, as we know here for the Houston area, is that we have $73 billion in major construction projects for oil and gas in the port in preparation to become the number one export port in the nation because of the expansion of the Panama Canal, and everybody's aware of that. Well, that $73 billion in projects, there is not sufficient workforce to do that and accomplish that in the prescribed next 3 years that industry wants these projects up and running, let alone then the workforce to operate and maintain those facilities. So just in the construction side, we need to import 47,000 skilled trade positions to provide that level of expertise for the various construction companies here in the general area to be able to meet those obligations for oil and gas. And so that is part of our program, as also is we have a lot of men and women that have already been trained in a lot of the skill sets that we need here in Houston, but they have to be certified. They have to be validated through industry standards to be considered job ready. And that's part of the problem that we're working with the military is that from day one, these types of industrial certifications should have been done so that there isn't a delay like there is currently. And but so those are other issues, side issues from initial indoctrination into our military that we're looking at working with to resolve. But we have come up with channels of operation so that within 30 days of leaving the military, these guys can have a job here in Houston. And we also provide real estate relocation services, because it's not just a matter of getting these guys jobs. You've got to be able to treat the whole person, because quite honestly, 40% of these guys getting out of the military, they got families.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just a matter of treating the needs of just that individual, but you also got to treat the needs of the family as well, which is another subject that or sideline that seems to get overlooked in this whole equation, that we, being of who we are, have accommodated and made provisions for.
Well, please tell me you're going to try to take this to other parts of the state outside of Houston. And when you get to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I hope the program does more than produce more insurance company executives and bankers. Now,
well, our goal right now is to center around our military bases. I mean, with what we're looking at doing, we'll be brought up, you know, to a broad base of colleges and university relations because of what we're evolving. But from the Fort Hood, Killeen area, and of course, what we're doing here in Houston is that, of course, we got to go to San Antonio with the three major bases there. We need to go to El Paso for Fort Bliss. And, of course, it's DOD's desire to take it to 20 other locations across the nations, because keep in mind, we're releasing 300,000 active duty personnel each and every year for the next 4 years.
Wow.
And so is everything going to be done out of Texas? Well, we know Texas is big, but no, not everything is done out of Texas. But it begins by demonstrating first and foremost that what we are proposing to do from the Austin area is an achievable format, but it's a format that's also not, and that's why the state's involved, because we're also addressing the needs of those veterans that are still in the area, still need these types of same conduits and transition abilities, besides dealing with our active duty personnel and getting them placed into jobs soon after they get out of military duty, so they don't go on the unemployment rolls.
Well, it's a heck of a mission you're undertaking. Now, Lynn, I want to leave you with one final question. If you had one thing you wanted to make sure that we remembered, what would it be?
That our men and women deserve not to be forgotten. That we have service obligations to ensure that they are provided not just the opportunity, but the pathways to follow through with. Our men and women are trained for adverse situations, and that's why industry seeks them so much, is that we've already demonstrated our ability to adapt and react. We just need to have this partnership. And here again, it's not just one entity. It is a partnership of everybody concerned. And quite honestly, us service veterans are tired of thank you for your service. Yes, that's appreciated. But let's follow that up with meaningful participation in this two-way street consideration that we're talking about, that you actually come up as a partner and say, all right, these are the jobs that we want you to prepare our men and women for, and if you do that, we will hire them. And that's basically our basic message, is that, you know, just don't say you support us. Actually follow through with a hard-nosed commitment, because we have the capability. We've proven that we can produce industrial-certified men and women to fulfill your roles. So now step up just like you would with any manufacturer and place your order.
All right. Our guest today has been Lynn Swanson. He's with the Veterans Alliance Group, part of a nonprofit group with Getty. That's the folks known as Global Energy Technologies Institute. Lynn, thank you for being with us on The Promise of Tomorrow.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with your listeners what we are doing, and more importantly, is just so people know that, you know, there is solutions out there, and there are groups that are going to make a difference.
Okay. As we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Who in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Derek Bell, Harvard Law. Ethics requires us to think deeply about every facet of our lives. Having the courage of your convictions is about making your public actions correspond to your private beliefs.